This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. The United States hands over power to Iraqis next week, and as part of the transition, some former members of Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party will be brought back to help govern the country. The United States has relied on old enemies in the past. After World War II, the CIA recruited former Nazis to help create and then run Germany's spy network. Timothy Naftali is author of the book U.S. Intelligence and the Nazis. He says American officials today could learn from old mistakes.
In Nazi Germany, we discovered how hard denazification would be. And by 1951, our representatives were beginning to give clemency to war criminals. In Iraq, we started to adopt policies that were contradictory to our initial goal of removing the Ba'ath Party from influence in post-war Iraq.
Well, let's go back briefly to the history. Why didn't the U.S. make sure that it didn't have dealings with former Nazis?
The simple answer is it was the early Cold War. There was great concern that we did not understand this new enemy. There was a huge intelligence gap, which the United States Army initially tried to fill very quickly. There was a sense that we needed spies, and it didn't matter what their background happened to be. I had a remarkable opportunity as a historical consultant to the Interagency Working Group on Nazi War Crimes to examine the operational records of these war criminals that we hired in the early Cold War. What was troubling to me was these people with whom we had Faustian bargains turned out to be poor intelligence assets. They were almost worthless.
Give us an example or a couple of examples of the sort of Nazis that the U.S. was dealing with.
This is where I draw a parallel to Iraq. The German intelligence officers at the end of the war needed something to do. This was their profession. This was their career. They sold themselves as a group to the U.S. Army. Their leader was a man named Reinhard Gehlen, who had headed an analytical group for the German General Staff on the Eastern Front throughout the war. We started subsidizing Gehlen in 1946. We had almost a hands-off policy towards this group. We let them grow to be between 3,000 and 4,000 people. By 1949, it became clear that this was a Frankenstein's monster, that Gehlen was hiring former members of the Gestapo, people who had served on the Eastern Front and had killed Jews and communists and civilians of any kind, were allowing these people to come in and were getting the protection of a U.S.-sponsored post-war German intelligence service.
Given that sovereignty, to some measure, is going to be handed over to Iraq on June 30th, how strong of a parallel or connection can you make here, though? How much control is the U.S. going to have over ex-Ba'athists?
The lesson of the Gehlen experience is that we need to know the backgrounds of the people that we are supporting. There should not be a blanket policy of turning a blind eye to what people have done in the past. I find it hard to believe there'd be any reason to protect someone who had committed atrocities against the Kurds.
Do you have any evidence, other than, you know, history is your guide, that in fact the U.S. is protecting those in Iraq who have committed atrocities?
There is an assumption that our experience in standing up the West German intelligence service was a success. And after having the opportunity to go through declassified CIA operational records, I discovered that this had been, in many ways, a failure, an operational as well as a moral failure. I felt that it was important that as we once again try to reconstruct a former enemy's intelligence service, that people keep in mind the mistakes that had been made in the late 40s. And my sense was that if people forgot history, they were likely to repeat it.
Timothy Naftali is an associate professor at the University of Virginia's Miller Center of Public Affairs. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Renee.